This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome in at this time from Bradenton, FLA, and from MLB.com. He covers the Pirates, Adam Barry. Adam, good morning.
Gentlemen, good morning from Bill Mazeroski Field out here at Pirate City.
Nice, good work. Okay, let me ask you, I guess this is a broad question, but the question. Is there... what's the atmosphere? Is there something hanging over the air between the players and the management that is palpable that you can feel?
Sure. Just based off the comments that you've heard from David Freese and Josh Harrison and Sean Rodriguez to a certain extent, I think there's definitely a little bit of division just as far as, you know, the intention, the off-season moves, and just sort of what the plan is going forward. And more specifically from Harrison, what the level of communication is about that plan. I think, you know, Freese came out and he was pretty supportive of the trade, you know, kind of understood the timing of it. Harrison obviously didn't like it. That's why he requested the trade. And then what really seemed to stick with Harrison was more the communication about what they're doing and, you know, proving with actions the words that they say about trying to contend this year. So I think there's still a little bit of that hanging on, but I also think that a lot of that is going to be behind us now that it's been said, because they'd said it internally at the end of last season. Now they've said it publicly. They've gotten it out there. And otherwise, the vibe is pretty standard for a spring training camp. A lot of the guys are actually really optimistic and excited. The young guys are coming together pretty well already. It's a very young team. But I think there was just sort of a sense that they needed to get that off their chest. They needed to say it, and then they could try to move forward from there.
And they're going to have to figure out a lot of questions, who's playing what and where. But just as far as the outfield goes, let's just say Marte can have a repeat of his best season, which I think was 15. We had 19 home runs, 91 RBIs, and Polanco in 16 with 22 home runs, 86. A big ask for maybe Adam Frazier to kind of supplement the 28 home runs and 88 RBIs.
Yeah, and I don't think they're necessarily going to look at it as a 1-1 replacement there, because you're also probably going to get more home runs from third base out of Colin Moran than you did from David Freese last season. You would hope that Josh Bell takes a step forward. He had a pretty rough first 2 months of last season. You're hoping, again, this is a lot of hoping, you know, hoping and wishing that Francisco Cervelli is going to stay healthy. You're hoping that Polanco is healthy again and Marte is on the field. But yeah, it's a lot to ask of Adam Frazier, not just offensively, you know, as potentially as a leadoff option, but to handle left field at PNC Park. They always say you need a center fielder's range to field that position, and they're basically asking a college shortstop, you know, minor league second baseman to go field there, or asking Jordan Luplo, who's probably better fit and right, to spell him there. So it's a big ask to fill that outfield spot. I don't know how many of the free agents out there right now are better fits necessarily. People are going to point at Corey Dickerson, who was just DFA'd by the Rays, is an interesting guy with some power, but they seem pretty happy right now with what they have in Frazier and Luplo. Just curious to see how that plan pans out and how long it takes Austin Meadows to come up and eventually fill that role full time.
Actually, maybe people like us don't dine in the same circles as some of those players that are working out at IMG. There's a media blackout there, which I find kind of interesting. But have you run into any of those guys in your travels around town? Any of those guys that are off limits to us peons?
I have not. No, they don't hang out at my condo a whole lot. I haven't really accepted my invitations to do so. I have talked to some free agents who didn't go. And it's just sort of an interesting vibe. You know, I think they don't want people feeling sorry for them necessarily. You know, they want jobs, but they don't want pity, which is kind of explaining the blackout thing. It's not a major league camp. It's a way for guys to go and stay in shape, you know, in kind of a professional way, so they can get jobs and so they are ready to compete, because those guys who are there aren't going to fall into full-time major league roles. They're going to have to compete for jobs, and they don't want to come in, you know, behind schedule if they do so.
Back to Austin Meadows real quick. How well is he assimilate into major league camp? We saw him there last year. He seems to look the part, you know, to a degree, but then sort of falls off when he has to produce day after day after day in major league camp. Is it the same way?
Well, I mean, they're just doing drill work and stuff right now, but he seems a little bit more comfortable. You know, he's on the major league side of the Pirate City clubhouse. He's got a jersey that doesn't start with a 7, which is always a good sign as far as your comfort level and how well you fit into the picture. Yeah, the biggest thing for him is just still going to be staying healthy. Can he do it? Can he produce a AAA when he is healthy? Because he wasn't last year, and the AAA numbers weren't there. You know, they're certainly not rushing him. I don't think they're putting a lot of expectations publicly on him as far as, you know, needing him to fill that outfield spot right now. But he's definitely the long-term answer. You know, we've been saying for a couple years now that he was going to be the guy ultimately to replace McCutchen, and the timing of it does not work out great where they trade away McCutchen and they don't have that obvious high-end answer. And, you know, Meadows is coming into a season with some questions about his health and his ability to produce at AAA. So I'm really curious to see where he fits in and how he does once games start. He actually had a pretty good spring training last year. So, you know, if he can repeat that, I think it would at least give people something to feel good about as far as that open outfield spot heading into the season.
I'm not advocating for Austin Meadows by any stretch, Adam, but I do think that from a public relations standpoint, if Jordan Luplo is in the mix when this team comes north, not that the public relations is good at this point, but that's going to be the person people circle and say, see, that guy? Are the Pirates really trying? I mean, he'll be that person. He'll be the guy that becomes the whipping person.
Sure, but you could also say Jordan Luplo tore up the minors last year, and what more does he have to prove? And, you know, he actually hit for power, which is not something a lot of guys on this team have done in the past. So, you know, if he's not able to do it in the majors and he struggles there, then absolutely. You could say that's a question. Why are you rushing him essentially through the minors in 1 year, AA and AAA, but holding back Meadows, who is obviously more well-regarded and high-end talent? But Meadows does have to prove it first, which is something that Luplo did in the minors, and Meadows yet hasn't really been healthy enough to do it.
Any concern that somehow along the way, and probably quicker along the way, that the team turns a little selfish only because of everyone else just in your own division, seeing where they're going in the direction they're going, where there's selfish play as opposed to, you know, getting better and doing the right things? I mean, worrying about your own numbers and worrying about all that with this team?
Yeah, that has to be a concern when you head into a season where there's questions about the intent to win and, you know, where your record's going to be in June or July, because you have a lot of, you know, you have Josh Harrison who could be playing for his next team, or, you know, this is his last guaranteed year of his contract. He could be playing for his next contract as well. So, you know, you certainly are concerned about that. Harrison's never been really a me-first guy, so he's not the kind of person I'd worry about there. You do worry, though. You know, Jordy Mercer's a pending free agent. Is he going to be concerned about where his future is? David Freese in a similar situation. The flip side of that is that you have a lot of young guys who are going to be here for the next couple of years, so they do need to build some sort of foundation. They need to kind of look out for each other a little bit. A lot of the pitchers, on the pitching side, it's a little bit more easy to see that unity. They're all about the same age. They're all about the same experience level. They get along really well. That's something I've really gotten a good feel for down here, is that it's a pretty tightly knit pitching staff. But yeah, from a position player side, you worry about guys trying to hit their way to their next contract, to their next team, depending on where their record is, you know, a month or two into the season.
Now, Adam, my understanding is that there was when Bob Nutting addressed the players in the cafeteria there, that there were no questions that nobody asked any questions at that point. But do you know? Did you talk to anybody like Josh Harrison, for example? Were there any conversations that any players had with Nutting afterwards, and were they willing to discuss it?
I mean, they talked. I didn't get a feel for what the specific conversations were, but I saw Harrison talking to Nutting on the field, Josh Bell, Colin Moran, Sean Rodriguez, some of those guys, and it was friendly. Harrison walked away laughing and smiling, and I don't think it was at him. I think it was with him. So, you know, there was no indication that there were any, you know, bad feelings or anything like that. I think Bob Nutting's address to the team was basically like, you know, we've talked about last year, we've talked about the past. We're here to win now, and that's the goal. And I think that's a pretty easy message to get behind, you know, if you are Harrison and that's what you've been asking for is, you know, commitment to winning, or if you're David Freese and that's what you've asked for. Of course, you know, there is still a difference between showing it and saying it, but it's hard to argue with a guy when he comes out and says, I want to win, and you're not really given an opportunity to ask questions, that, you know, you're not going to disagree with that in theory, at least.
It's probably too soon for this. You mentioned the young pitching staff. A lot of these guys have been together for a number of years in the organization. Joe Musgrove is about the same age as those guys, but he is a newcomer. And now he's got this shoulder discomfort, our first discomfort of the spring. So I know it's kind of early since this developed, but what are the chances of something like that becoming an annoyance as things move on?
I'd say pretty low. It's something you want to be concerned about just because he missed time last season with the exact same injury, right? Shoulder discomfort. He downplayed it pretty significantly yesterday. He said it's a minor thing, and we all kind of forgot about the fact that he pitched late into October last year. He was the only one who did it in this clubhouse. So, young guys especially, coming off of short off seasons, you're always careful with their workload as they go through spring training. You got to be mindful of what they're able to do, how they're feeling, because you don't want a minor thing early in spring training to turn into a major thing come May or June, especially for a guy like him moving back out of the bullpen into the rotation. So they had conversations before camp even started that they were going to be careful. You know, if they felt something, they were going to shut it down for the day and not worry about it. But he said it was minor. He even said he might throw his next live batting practice session, which is in a couple days. So I don't think that's a huge concern right now. And, you know, the one place they do have some depth is in the rotation. So, you know, if Musgrove isn't ready and he has to do, you know, an extra 10 days of rehab or whatever, they have Stephen Brault, they have Tyler Glass now, they have Nick Kingham. So they do have some coverage there if in case that, you know, this does turn into something a little bit more significant.
You can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsible. Last thing for you, Adam Barry, MLB.com. Okay, there's not going to be a pitch clock. Rob Manfred and the players are never going to be like best friends. Rob Manfred and the agents are definitely never going to be best friends. Rather than nibbling at this, why doesn't he just rule with an iron fist and come down with exactly what he wants to come down with?
I think you don't want to upset the players in this situation. Like you said, they're already kind of a little bit contentious right now with the way the free agent market has gone and just the general pace of play discussions, you know, overall. So you don't want to come out and say you're going to do this, like it or not, and then all of the coverage the next couple of days is how unhappy the players are. That's not good for baseball. You know, it's not good for baseball if you have players openly questioning everything that's going on, whether it's the free agent market or the pace of play rules. So I think it also helps to ease them in a little bit. Baseball is so heavily built on tradition that you don't want to completely and dramatically change the way the game is played. And when you look at the rules that were released yesterday, it's a lot more alterations than it is overhauls. So I think it's just sort of a way to ease it in, get guys comfortable with the idea of playing quicker, shorten game times, and then hopefully you don't have to make that iron fist rule because you've gotten what you've wanted, which is quicker games, more entertaining games, without having to upset your player base.
Adam Barry, MLB.com. Adam, thank you so much. Stay out of the sun.
Hey, and you guys enjoy the warm weather up there.
And up in Pittsburgh, it's a balmy 72 degrees. Does that guy still do that?
Appreciate
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he does.
Oh,
yeah.
Gosh. See you, Adam.
Bye, Adam.
All right, bye, guys.
He was not a party to our comedy.
No, he apparently enjoyed it, though.
Yes.
He didn't hang up.
I wonder if there's been a time during a game where it has been warmer all that much.
Weird. It probably has.
It felt like spring training.
If it was ever going to happen, it would have been like this next week.
Yeah.
I actually did look ahead to Bradenton temperatures.
Of course.
And it does get into the mid-70s toward the end of, I think, around early the first few days in March, according to the projection.
And back in Pittsburgh, it's 46 degrees. Oh, and all those old-timers. Oh, same joke I've laughed at for 30 years. Oh.
I know Saturday's their first, the first game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.